This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Chris and Amy show on KMOX, and Kanye West, he always finds himself in the news for multiple reasons. Usually, lately anyway, it's been crazy stuff because the guy's nuts. So at any rate, he had a lot of anti-Semitic tweets that he sent out over the last couple of weeks, and he's made a lot of anti-Semitic comments, and those do have some real-world implications. They're not just, you know, thrown out there. It does affect people. To talk about that with us in studio is the regional director of the Anti-Defamation League Heartland, Jordan Kadosh, with us on KMOX. Jordan, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me. Nice to see you.
Okay, so let's just, I don't know if I'm going to read any of these tweets, but I will tell you they're pretty bad. And then, on top of all of that, there was a Super Bowl ad where he directed people to go to his website. You go to the website, and all that's there is a swastika T-shirt that you can buy. That's it. So,
and to be clear, too, that the tweets that he had were pathologically evil in the sense that they were praising Hitler, and, you know, in addition
to
slurs against Jewish people. So, I mean, it was a all-on assault by Kanye West.
By an insane person. So when you see this, what do you think?
Here we go again. I mean, we've seen this before from from the artist formerly known as Kanye West. And it has real-world implications. Not only is it unacceptable, but the last time that he spouted all of this anti-Semitic hate, we could tie 30 anti-Semitic incidents that we catalog at the ADL on a regular basis directly to that incident. And so we don't know what the damage will be from this latest round, but we do know that these statements have real world impacts and they impact people's lives.
How are you able to know that whatever he says or that comments from him directly led to somebody doing something?
So it'll vary incident by incident. So in those 30, it would have varied. But inside the narrative of the constituent who is reporting the incident, they have space to tell us what happened, especially if somebody's citing the tweet.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about Kanye West has over 32 million followers on Twitter, meaning he has twice as many Twitter followers as there are Jewish people in the world. And
should mention all of his tweets are gone. His account is up, but every tweet has been wiped. I don't know if it's something he did or if the website did.
Yeah. So the there's that aspect of it, the scale, the magnitude of what he's doing. But if someone were to say, yeah, it's just the ravings of a lunatic, let's push it aside, it's a one-off, what would you say to that?
I'm not in a position to evaluate his mental state. I don't know who is. But I think that, you know, we always have conversations about intent versus impact, and here we have both. Mm-hmm. Right? So the impact of the reach of 32 million followers at the push of a button that reaches a lot of people, some might be persuaded by his status and his celebrity. And then we have the intent aspect as well, not to be discounted. He's declaring his intentions, right? And so there's no ambiguity this in this particular case. He doubles and triples down and says, no, this is what I mean. And I think we have to take that at face value.
So, Jordan, you and I were both in the FBI Citizens Academy class, and they did talk to us about how a lot of this speech, there's, you know, people can't be arrested for it. It's not illegal. You know, there's a very high standard for that because of the First Amendment we have, which all true, but it still has an effect on people. So how do you wrestle with that, knowing that, hey, this idiot can say whatever he wants and there's no real recourse for it?
Well, anybody can say whatever they want. We live in a free country, and I, for one, am grateful for that. But that doesn't mean that you can say whatever you want, wherever you want, and everybody has to put up with it. The same right of free speech that protects him protects me for calling it out and saying that it's awful. But also, he said it on a platform that is not the public square one way or the other. That is a contractual relationship. We all click, I agree, when we sign up for these apps. And there are terms of service. These are private companies. These are private agreements. The same way that you have me sitting here today, you know, I could say whatever I want, but you don't have to tolerate it, and you certainly don't have to give me a platform to do so.
Should Twitter, Facebook, all the social media platforms, should they do better?
We're advocates of a council culture, not a cancel culture, and so our Center on Technology and Society, which sits in Silicon Valley, actually works directly with social media platforms to improve their terms of service and to evaluate how they do in upholding their own standards. And I think if you look at this instance, you'll notice that Shopify removed the t-shirt that was for sale, is no longer available for sale.
Jordan, what about what we have seen on college campuses, especially after October 7th and the horrific attack by Hamas? And we saw these pro-Palestinian protests get to the point where a lot of them had pro-Hamas, pro-terror, pro-ISIS, anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish, anti-Israel expressions. Why do you think college campuses, or how do you think their response was, I should say, in your mind?
I mean, we publish a report card, so I think you'd have to look at it campus by campus. Some campuses did great. Others, we've given out D's and F's. We've seen improvements, and we've seen some backsliding as well. I think it's a race at the top. We want all campuses to get A's as far as how they deal with these events. But I think if you look here in St. Louis, when we had an issue, and you look at the composition of the people that were apprehended violating the campus's policies, 75% of them were not affiliated with that campus at all. And so you really have to ask yourself if the campuses are targets of this kind of activity, or if this really is growing up from the student or the faculty populations. I think the other thing I would say is that we just published a survey from done in conjunction with Hillel International and ADL. 83% of Jewish college students have either experienced or witnessed an anti-Semitic act on campus. That's not necessarily an anti-Israel act. That's just an anti-Semitic act. And so at some point, this has been normalized on campus, and it's affecting the lives of the Jewish kids who are just trying to pass exams. Mm-hmm. And they should probably be left alone to do so.
So how are you able to, or do you even try to parse whether or not some of these acts are anti-Semitism or anti-Israel?
We do. So we actually publish two separate reports in our annual audit of anti-Semitic incidents. So my office takes in incidents of bias, bigotry, discrimination, anti-Semitism of any kind. Right. But each year, our Center on Extremism audits the incidents that we process for the anti-Semitic ones. We publish an annual report. and there is a campus breakdown on those, which ones were anti-Semitic. Separately, we publish an anti-Israel climate report that is about anti-Israel activities on campus, and the two circles overlap, but they are not the same thing.
What about, can you explain to people a phrase we saw so often chanted on campus and on city streets across America and Europe, from the river to the sea, what that means and what its significance is?
The river that's being referenced is the Jordan River. It's what I'm named after, actually. The sea is the Mediterranean Sea. And, you know, for me, this one's kind of personal. In between those two bodies of water, you will find my cousins, you know, sending me selfies of themselves in their safe room while they're sheltering from an Iranian ballistic missile attack. And on WhatsApp, we can do that in real time. And so the idea that all 7 million plus Jews are going to be removed from that landmass, where are they supposed to go? And so there's a difference between being in favor of Palestinian rights and self-determination, which I think we can all agree on, and being against the same for the Jewish people who live in Israel, here in America, and around the world.
Jordan is with the ADL here in the St. Louis area. And how has this area particularly, how have things changed here over the last couple of years or even several years in terms of the amount of anti-Semitism that we are seeing?
In our last audit, the incidents in Missouri quadrupled year over year. It's a drastic increase. It mirrors the increase across the country. I would say that they were off the chart, but we were able to make a bigger chart, right? And that's literally what we had to do to accommodate the spike in incidents after October 7th. There was, in December of that year, there was over 1,000 bomb threats made against Jewish institutions. Five of those were here in Missouri, seven throughout our region. And I think that it might be lost in other people that, you know, these are temples have preschools. These are places that need to be secured because their kids are getting people dropping off their kids and then going to work in a very kind of everyday way. And my phone starts ringing on a day when a temple gets a bomb threat from a board member who dropped their kid at Sunday school, right? Just wanting to know if it's real or not, or if it's a hoax threat. And that's the kind of terror that is deliberately targeted at Jewish people because they're Jewish. It's not just us, but we are often the targets.
You mentioned the spike in the last couple of years. Historically, though, how far would you have to go back to you know, feel like it was at a, I don't know if normal is the right word, but a more normal level? Have you seen it go up over the years and then the spike last year? How is it, I guess, going back 10, 20 years, would you be able to measure that?
So we see it go up over the last 5 years specifically, okay. And it kind of a dramatic rise. Maybe 1 or 2 years were more of a plateau, but it continued to rise over 5 years and then a spike. And so October 7th, which was the deadliest day for Jews in the world since the Holocaust, happened in a climate of incredibly heightened anti-Semitism. And ever since then, it's just been a flood.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And this is, as you mentioned, Jewish people around the world. I mean, we've seen what's gone on in Europe. Mm-hmm. My good friend is an Olympian for Israel. And in Paris, like things you don't realize, she's like, we're not supposed to wear, you know, our team warm-ups just to go get coffee. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they said, you know, be proud of where you're from, but don't necessarily broadcast it. When she was running her marathon, had to have special security, like always with her individually, because she's Jewish. She has nothing to do with what's, you know, going on, no matter where you know, in the world. She's a Jewish athlete. And so we see that with her. But I know, like in the United States, there are Jewish people that if, you know, like wearing a Star of David might feel less safe than before. Have you seen that in St. Louis where Jewish people in our area think twice or feel more unsafe?
Well, we're brought up like that. I mean, they're talking about your Star of David into your shirt, you know, not to wear it in public. I mean, this is a thing that I was taught as a child. It's not necessarily how I feel right now. I think that we have a moment where people can be outwardly Jewish and proud of their heritage and of their religion and to go about their day-to-day lives. But that heightened sense of insecurity that comes from all of these incidents taking place, you know, it does make it a very personal choice. And I certainly wouldn't get involved in telling somebody whether or not they should feel safe. It might make that a different decision every day at this point.
Jordan, mm-hmm. What would you say to somebody who is not Jewish, who doesn't really face anything like this, how they can contribute positively to whether it's the conversation or just the environment, whatever they can do?
I think that one of the things that's often lost on people who don't spend a lot of time with this is that we're not always looked at as independent arbiters of what's anti-Semitic or not, right? So from a third party looking at me calling something anti-Semitic, they might say, well, is it really? Or do you see that around every corner at this point? And so having people who aren't Jewish say, you know what, that is a problem. When they see something, actually helps convince other people that maybe they've gone a little too far and they need to pay attention to their own actions in a way that is really disarming, so that we're not in the business of calling people bigoted, that we're in the business of saying, thank you for giving me the space to say, I was offended by that. And that's the act of a friend or a neighbor, and that's what we need right now.
It almost... I hear you say that. It almost sounds like it's the victim here. It's the onus is put on them to be nice about it, about being feeling like they have been targeted in some way, to not tell another person, you know, you're being a bigot right now, and just say, hey, that offended me. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. I feel bad that it's like that, you know.
On
you
almost want to say people to like yes, be extra it's like, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like you want to say, "Well, screw you, man." You know, that must be a really difficult thing to have to navigate.
I mean, we're not taking this quietly, right? Like, we're not walking through this environment and saying we're not going to do anything about it. People are organizing. People are voting. People are advocating. Our advocacy days have grown from 10 people to 40. Right? Like, people are making the trip. They're doing what needs to be done. They're participating in our democracy and making their voices heard. And that's all great. But what can somebody who's not steeped in it do is that they can be a friend and make that space. I go into a lot of spaces where Jewish employees don't want to speak up about something that's happening on their, you know, a conversation in the work from home Slack on their mm-hmm. internal company comms because they don't want to stick their head above water and get slapped down for it. And just the act of being there and bringing up the conversation in a way where people feel comfortable sharing their stories, right? It just gives a little bit of breathing room. It's not that the onus is on me for experiencing some sort of discrimination to have to call it out every time. It's about what's going to happen when I do. So if I say I'm offended, I would really like somebody's reaction to be, oh, I offended you, right? And have it be a question in the beginning of a conversation, as opposed to what we often get, which is, well, that's not what I meant, right?
Sure, sure.
That's what we're trying to avoid. And a friend can intervene that way to make sure that we don't end up there.
Well, Jordan, we appreciate you coming in and having this conversation. Good to see you again.
Nice to see you.
Thank you for stopping by.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Jordan Kadosh, Regional Director of the Anti-Defamation League Heartland, with us here in studio. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.